Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Over the next few days, you might be reunited with a lot of family you haven't seen in quite a while, and it might be a house bursting at the seams. So how do you stop yourself falling out with your family crew? Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College Dublin and author of The Science of Happiness, Brendan Kelly, is with me here on Lunchtime Live today. Tensions are always likely to rise, aren't they, Brendan, over the next couple of days?
The tensions will certainly rise, and this is a very serious situation. You need to approach this with a military-style strategy if you are to make it through Christmas at all, particularly the family gatherings.
How do you do that? Okay,
number one, lower your expectations dramatically. Just try and aim for things being pleasantly adequate rather than magical or perfect. You know, and be grateful for anything above mild civility. It's a bonus, really. So you need to lower the expectations. And remember, people don't magically change because it's Christmas. Everyone is still the same. We'll all say and do the same things as last year. So it's important to not aim too high. And also what's really helpful is to remember other people feel the exact same as you do about this. So they're probably filled with anxiety and a little bit of dread as these Christmas events start to happen.
I think that's absolutely brilliant for all of us to just lower our expectations and maybe kind of give up on having the perfect family Christmas, Brendan.
Yes, the perfect family Christmas is not going to happen. And whatever does happen, remind yourself this is temporary. It will eventually end, like jet lag or the flu or a Zoom meeting or something. It will pass. So no matter how emotionally challenging you find it, it will eventually end. In the events themselves, a really good strategy is to focus on practical tasks. So washing up, walking the dog, popping out to the shop are very socially acceptable escape routes. And they're things that we should prioritise. There'll be a crush of people to walk the dog. Manny's the dog will be overwalked over Christmas, but they'll get through it.
Yeah, that you're giving away my hacks here now. I'm always the first to volunteer to go to the shop. Just straight away out of the house. Kill time.
Out you go. Yeah. Absolutely. Large numbers of people stampeding up to the shop that isn't even open on Christmas morning. You can spend some time looking for other shops and then go back and say you didn't manage to find whatever you were looking for. The other thing is, you know, don't worry too much about this. Remember, like you might be talking away, but nobody is really listening to you. They're just waiting to speak themselves or wondering when they can leave to go to the shop as well. So don't worry too much about what you might say or regret having said things because, you know, people are telling stories in parallel and not really listening to anybody else. So it doesn't really matter.
Are there things you can do, Brendan, in advance, you know, to stop the row erupting? Or if you know there's like, you know, a button pusher for a family member or extended cousin or friend or somebody who comes to the house over the next few days, and there's something that always kind of, you know, riles them up, whether it's talking politics or whatever it is. Like, is there something that you can do to even just navigate, avoid even having that conversation in the first instance?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent there is. I mean, you're not a family therapist and you're not going to turn Christmas dinner into a therapy session, no matter how much you try to maneuver to avoid the conflicts. Sometimes it's good just to sit back and to watch it happen, maybe let it happen early. And, you know, silence it can be very, very helpful in these situations. You can also use like physical space, like people kind of guiding people into different rooms. Keeping a supply of Christmas crackers is really helpful because you can annoyingly announce, "Let's pull crackers now," in order to
just as the row is on the brink of total erupting.
Absolutely. And then you just pull a cracker, and you know, if no one will pull a cracker with you, just pull it yourself, and little things will fall out and you'll say how awful they are. Someone will read a joke, and you can keep doing that. This might be the purpose of Christmas crackers, now that I think about it, Andrea.
That's what
they're for. To interrupt the argument.
Can you make yourself a little bit more patient? Because I know that that's like, I'm, you know, a real stickler for time, and I'm anal about being organised, and I know that's probably insufferable for everybody else. So, like, are there things you can do to become a little bit more patient over Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, one of the best things that we can do is just sort of neutrally nod, listen to people, try not to judge, and just wait till this all ends. Wait till it passes like a cloud through the sky, or like a rain shower or something. It is useful to try and put yourself in other people's position as well, and remember, maybe they're trying to avoid different arguments. They have other pet peeves apart from timekeeping that they don't like, and of course, sometimes people are in very, very difficult emotional states, so their behavior won't make sense. You know, people's behavior is fairly irrational anyway. Christmas amplifies that. So it is important to be compassionate and to remember, look, people are going through things. They might be feeling a magnified sense of loneliness at Christmas. And sometimes it's helpful just to cut people a bit of slack and let them do whatever kind of thing they need to do. It might make no sense at all, and it might be mildly unsettling, but maybe it's something they need to do or say, or a way they need to behave just to get through Christmas, like you're trying to do as well.
Listener here wondering, Brendan, about, you know, mental or breathing exercises, things you can practice to ease tension in yourself.
Yeah, so it's really good to have an activity that absorbs you. You know, so, you know, in general life, something like gardening or playing music, listening to music is important. We need to really make time for that at Christmas. Time on your own, time standing outside is very useful. If you're at an actual family event that seems to be going down the tubes fairly fast, it can be helpful sort of to fix your gaze on something like a plant or a window or something like that. Count to 10 in your own mind and just kind of relax yourself again into the moment, and remember, like, you're watching a drama rather than taking part in it. So, you know, having that little bit of distance moment to moment can be very helpful for you and for everybody else. It can help to settle the situation a little bit.
Another listener, Brendan, looking for your advice or your thoughts on the family member that always gets too drunk, becomes utterly obnoxious. How do you deal with them?
Yeah, so you're not going to solve that problem on the day when the person is drunk and obnoxious. Obviously, it helps if other people aren't drunk and obnoxious, but there's very little you can do. It's kind of like watching something fall from a shelf. It's just going to fall. It's going to need to break when it hits the ground, and there's not a lot you can do to interrupt it apart from giving some time, giving some space, and trying not to get too angry on the day. Obviously, that's something you might need to circle back to after the event. But accepting a certain amount of this is important. You know, we're not going to fix our families ever, and certainly not at Christmas.
Yeah. Agreeing on a TV plan, what you're going to watch. Yeah. How do you manage to find agreement on that?
What you do is you listen to what the other person suggests. You suggest what you think is best. And if they insist on their option, just go with it. You're not going to win this argument. You know, let it go, or as people used to say, offer it up. And then schedule your TV viewing at a time when you can pick what you want yourself. TV is not worth fighting over at Christmas, and we do need to let it go a little bit. Again, we don't know why people are insisting so rigidly on what they are insisting on. They might have some kind of emotional turmoil going on inside them, and they want this little bit of control in their world. We just got to accept that a lot of the time. Take a deep breath and just, you know, watch Die Hard, if that's what some people think is appropriate at Christmas.
Jim and Bray has suggested having a dartboard might be a good idea at Christmas. Yeah, but I suppose it goes back to your point about the Christmas crackers, isn't it? Like, even a board game, something to try and ease the tension.
Yeah, a board game is good. I would suggest a board game that does not involve potentially dangerous weapons like darts. That is maybe not to be advised. Maybe something like, Monopoly or cards, where the physical risks are less, particularly if people have been drinking.
Yeah, John in Limerick says, try a stiff whiskey and take 20 minutes hiding out in the ensuite. It works every time. Another listener, I'm tuned in to Brendan this afternoon. Thank God I'm spending Christmas alone if this is what we have to deal with. Just a couple of suggestions too, Brendan, and some of these I totally agree with from this listener, has got in touch to say, don't comment on food choices, don't comment on weight or diet. No need to pick on the vegan options if somebody around the table is vegan. Don't ask plans about getting married. Don't talk to people about pregnancy plans, and don't talk to people about relationship statuses at all. It's a pretty good text, isn't it?
Yeah, no, that's all really, really good advice. I mean, those are the topics that we all talk about all the time. So the default should be talking about pets, you know, pets, cats, dogs, things like that.
The weather.
And holidays.
Yeah. Don't bother with politics, religion, leave it all at the door as well.
No, and the weather, you got to be very, very flexible. If you say it's very cold and someone says it's very warm, you say, yes, it's cold in a kind of a warm way. You just agree with whatever they're saying. There's
you
no
just
point
spent your whole Christmas agreeing with everyone, Brendan. I kind of do the same too, actually.
Well, Andrea, I do. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
There's a lot to
I
be said
with everybody.
Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin and the author of The Science of Happiness. Brendan, listen, thanks a million as always for joining us here on the show. We love to have your contributions and joining us for the chats. Have a great Christmas. I've no doubt we will talk to you in the new year. The email, as always, if you want to get in touch, it's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.